Welcome back to the Medic Prospects Healthcare GTM Series podcast. In episode 2, we discussed the biggest healthcare GTM trends nobody is talking about yet, where we explored how AI, evolving buyer behavior, and data intelligence are reshaping healthcare go-to-market strategies. And today, in episode 3, we're diving into one of the most important shifts happening in B2B healthcare, the rise of account-based marketing in healthcare. For years, healthcare marketers believed growth meant generating more leads, reaching more contacts, and increasing campaign volume. But today, many healthcare growth teams are asking a different question. What if growth isn't about reaching more people? What if it's about reaching the right healthcare organizations and the right decision makers at the right time? That's exactly where account-based marketing, or ABM, comes in.
That really is the million-dollar question right there.
Right. And look, if you just listened to that intro and thought, this sounds like corporate jargon for just sending more emails, you are definitely not alone.
Oh, absolutely not. It's a super common reaction.
Yeah,
but we are genuinely thrilled to welcome you to today's deep dive because, well, the old spray-and-pray marketing model, it's basically dead.
Completely dead.
Right. And today our mission is to unpack this fascinating source material from Medic Prospects to really understand why that is. We're looking at how the surgical precision of account-based marketing is just completely taking over in B2B healthcare.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out right up front that, you know, while the lens here is healthcare, this isn't just a healthcare thing.
Right.
It's honestly a masterclass in understanding how modern, really high-stakes purchasing decisions are made, especially in this era of just total information overload.
Which we are all feeling, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, buyers today are so insulated from traditional sales tactics, it's a totally different game now.
So to really grasp this, I feel like we need to quickly look back at the old way, you know, the volume model.
Oh, the ghost of marketing paths.
Yes, where it was all just a pure numbers game.
Right. I mean, the traditional playbook was basically you build or you scrape these massive contact lists. We're talking thousands and thousands of names.
For huge list.
Huge. And you blast out these generic campaigns and just hope, literally just hope to generate a few leads to toss over to the sales team. The only metric anyone cared about was, you know, how many people can we reach?
Right. The classic quantity over quality trap.
Exactly. But ABM completely flips that script. Mm-hmm. It shifts the entire focus away from quantity. So instead of saying marketing to every single hospital in the country,
which is impossible to do well anyway.
Right. Instead of doing that, ABM identifies like 50 specific hospitals, just 50. And the team creates highly personalized engagement just for them.
Which is such a wild shift. And the source material explains exactly why this shift had to happen, right? It's buyer behavior.
Yeah, it was totally forced on them. Buyers do not wait around for sales reps to educate them anymore.
No, they definitely don't.
A healthcare buyer is out there independently researching, they're reading case studies, they're asking their peers for advice long before they ever talk to a vendor.
Long before.
Right. So by the time they do engage, they demand relevant conversations. They have zero patience for generic outreach.
Okay, let's unpack this with an analogy because I think it helps visualize it for everyone listening.
Sure.
Traditional marketing is like throwing a giant net into the ocean and just hoping to randomly catch a specific type of fish.
Yeah, pulling up old boots and seaweed along with it.
Exactly. Lots of garbage in the net. But ABM is like spearfishing with night vision goggles. You know exactly what you're looking for and you go straight for it.
That is a perfect way to put it. Spearfishing with night vision.
But wait, if it's like spearfishing, why can't a company just, you know, find the CEO of a target hospital, pitch them directly and call it a day?
Right. Because in healthcare, and really in any enterprise setting today, you are never dealing with a single decision maker.
It's a whole committee.
A massive, complex committee. Think about selling something like revenue cycle software or a big cybersecurity platform or medical imaging equipment.
Millions of dollars on the line.
Exactly. So the sources show us this giant web of stakeholders.
Yeah.
You've got the CIO, the CFO, clinical leaders, procurement teams, compliance officers.
Wow, everybody gets a say.
Everybody. Yeah. And here's the kicker. They all have totally conflicting priorities.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So the CFO sitting there asking about ROI and operating margins. Mm. But the CIO, they don't care about that. They're asking, how does this integrate with our legacy systems? Is it secure?
Right. And the clinical director is probably just worried about patient outcomes.
Exactly. And procurement is just focused on vendor reliability and compliance.
Okay, wait. I have to push back on this a bit.
Go for it.
If everyone in the hospital has veto power and they all have these completely different priorities, doesn't personalizing the message for each person just create a really chaotic brand identity.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you tell the CFO one thing and the CIO something else entirely, how do you keep the story straight? Doesn't the vendor end up looking totally fragmented?
That is such a great question, and it's a trap a lot of companies fall into if they do this poorly. But the sources actually provide a really clear, real-world example to resolve this.
The Mayo Clinic playbook.
Exactly, the Mayo Clinic playbook. So let's walk through this revenue cycle management or RCM software example.
Yeah, let's break it down.
So they're targeting the Mayo Clinic. Instead of sending one generic brochure to everyone, the AJUN team breaks it down. The CFO gets a customized cost-saving analysis.
Okay, speaking their language.
Right, reports on revenue improvement and financial impact, total focus on ROI.
Mm-hmm.
But the CIO, they get integration guides, security frameworks, and case studies about interoperability.
Focusing on infrastructure.
Yes. Then the revenue cycle director, they get denial reduction strategies, operational efficiency stuff. And procurement gets all the vendor credentials and compliance documents.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. It's almost like, well, it's like a prism.
Oh, I like that.
Right. Taking one single beam of light, which is the product, and splitting it into completely different colors so each department only sees the wavelength they actually care about.
That is exactly what it is. The core truth of the product doesn't change. You're just highlighting the specific value that matters to that specific person.
Okay, but honestly, customizing content for every single executive at every target hospital sounds incredibly labor-intensive.
It's a massive amount of work.
So why is healthcare ABM growing faster than ever right now if it's that hard?
Well, the sources outline four major reasons driving this, basically four accelerants.
Let's hear them.
First, longer sales cycles. These deals take 6 to 12 months, sometimes longer. You can't just run a two-week ad campaign. ABM is built to nurture that entire long journey.
Right, you need a marathon strategy, not a sprint.
Exactly. Second is the growing buying committees we just talked about. You have to engage the whole group, not just one isolated champion.
Because if your one champion leaves the company, you're dead in the water.
Bingo. The third reason is the expectation of personalization. Like we said, generic outreach just gets buried under hundreds of other emails.
Yeah, nobody reads those.
And the fourth accelerant is moving beyond leads. Teams are finally asking which accounts are actually moving toward a decision instead of just how many fake leads did we get today.
But that brings up a really common fear, right? The misconception that doing ABM means getting fewer leads, which looks bad on paper.
Oh, marketers are terrified of this.
Yeah.
Because the top of the funnel looks so much smaller.
Right.
But the text hits us with this ultimate question, and it's a brutal reality check. Would you rather have 5,000 generic leads who downloaded a PDF and have zero intention of buying?
Just vanity metrics, basically.
Exactly. Would you rather have that or 50 healthcare organizations actively evaluating your solution? The 50 real accounts will generate way more revenue.
Okay, but if the goal is to carefully nurture relationships with 50 specific accounts over a year, you know, handcrafting all this stuff, is this actually just a sales strategy masquerading as marketing?
Huh. That is the perfect segue, because the sources make a massive point about this. ABM is absolutely not just a marketing strategy.
It can't be.
Right. It demands total, uncompromising alignment across marketing, sales, customer success, and leadership.
Everybody has to be on the same page.
They all have to agree on which accounts matter and which messages resonate. And to do that, they rely heavily on really specific data.
What kind of data?
I mean, granular stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They need to understand an organization's specialty, their facility type, their size, ownership, geographic market.
Even their tech adoption, right? Like what legacy systems they run.
Exactly. The source makes this great comparison. A 50-bed rural hospital and a 1,000-bed academic medical center have wildly different needs.
Oh, completely different universes.
Right. So sales and marketing have to share all this data and work the account together.
So if I'm picturing this, the old way was basically a relay race, right? Where marketing runs their lap, gets some leads, just hands the baton to sales and walks away.
Yeah, and then they point fingers when the deal falls through.
Right. But ABM is a three-legged race where marketing, sales, and customer success are literally tied together and have to run in perfect sync from day one.
That is exactly how it works. But of course, doing that at scale.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. If this requires so much cross-team synchronization and insane amounts of data, how on earth do companies scale this without just completely burning out their teams?
That is the big question. And the sources reveal that the future of healthcare GTM is getting highly intelligent.
Tech to the rescue.
Precisely. There are four major tech advancements driving ABM forward right now.
Okay, what's the first one?
AI. Artificial intelligence is finally solving the content bottleneck. It allows teams to personalize content at scale.
So taking that single white paper and instantly adapting it for the CFO, the CIO, and the clinical director?
Exactly. Generative AI can do in seconds what used to take a copywriter days.
Wow. Okay, what's the second advancement?
Intent signals. This one is kind of mind-blowing. It's about identifying organizations that are actively researching solutions before they even reach out to you.
Wait, really? How does that even work?
It tracks digital footprints. So if someone at Mayo Clinic is reading articles about revenue cycle inefficiencies on industry websites.
Even anonymously?
Yes. The software uses reverse IP lookups and maps that activity back to the Mayo Clinic network. So you know they are in the market before they ever fill out a form.
That is crazy. Okay, so AI and intent signals, what's number three?
Predictive analytics. This takes all that intent data, combines it with historical sales data, and mathematically identifies which accounts are statistically more likely to actually buy.
So it tells you where to aim the spear.
Exactly. It stops the sales team from wasting 6 months on a hospital that realistically has no budget.
Makes total sense. And the last one?
Buying group intelligence.
What's that?
Well, even if you know a hospital is looking, you still need to understand the internal politics. Buying group intelligence tools map the hidden dynamics of how decisions are made across a specific hospital's teams.
So it connects the dots between the CFO and the CIO's research.
Right. It identifies the actual people forming the committee for this specific purchase.
Okay, so what does this all mean? I mean, philosophically. If AI can perfectly simulate a deeply personalized one-to-one relationship at massive scale, do we risk losing the actual human trust that ABM was originally designed to build?
That is the tension right there. But the sources emphasize that the technology is just setting the table.
The machines do the prep work.
Right. They make sure you are talking to the right person about the right problem. But when it comes down to actually closing the deal, a human still has to sit in the room, build the trust, and stand behind the promises.
So growth in healthcare B2B is no longer about shouting the loudest to the largest room.
Not at all.
It's about whispering the right solution to the right people at the exact right time. It's really the foundation of modern GPM.
It absolutely is.
And look, for you listening right now, why should you care about this? Even if you aren't a healthcare marketer, whether you are selling a product, working on a complex internal project, or just trying to persuade a group of people at work, understanding how to map and speak to a buying committee is a superpower.
100%. It changes how you communicate.
It really does. But I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, building on what we just discussed.
Let's hear it.
If predictive analytics and intent signals become so advanced that vendors literally know a hospital is looking for a solution before the hospital's own board of directors does, how will that change the power dynamic of business negotiations forever?
Wow. Information asymmetry at its finest.
Exactly. Who really holds the cards when the seller knows more about the buyer's future than the buyer does? Something to think about. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll catch you next time.